In our Hawaii Garden and Forest segment, we focus on the Amy Greenwell Gardens in Kona, which has been closed for 4 years. But thanks to a sale between Bishop Museum and the Friends of the Garden, the Big Island community of Kona will get its garden back. We talked to Miley Melrose, president of the Friends Group, about the plans for the future.
The good news was Bishop Museum, they mortgaged the garden. So they had to keep it in halfway decent shape in case a prospective buyer came along. It couldn't lose its value. So Bishop Museum paid their garden manager to stay on during these whole 4 years, which was a godsend. Thank you, Bishop Museum. So they kept Peter Van Dyke on, and then we, the Friends, just made up a bunch of volunteer gardeners. And what's good fun about the garden is that it has a reputation. And so it was kind of fun. People who had to do community service, who had been caught speeding or doing bad things, I don't know what they did, they can come and help us. And lots of them are really, really good gardeners. And little kids at schools have to do community service because they're supposed to connect with the community. So kids from Wea or Kona Waina would come and weed with us. And then nice people would even volunteer, from Hilo. They'd bring over kids from Hawaii Community College, kids from the pharmacy school over there, from the Hawaiian Studies program. They'd get in a van and drive over on Saturdays. So it does have weeds, but it's not overgrown. The lawn is still beautifully green. And the trouble is, some of these trees, we probably have the most beautiful ulu trees in Kona. They're just huge. They were planted after Bishop Museum started the garden in the 1880s, but they are so tall right now that we have to have a hazardous tree assessment so that giant ulu branches and fruit don't fall on people. And our koa grove at the top of the garden, koa trees grow pretty rapidly once they get their roots down, and so they have lots of branches. And Peter Van Dyke was out gardening, and he said a huge giant branch fell down like 100 feet away from him. But lucky, because if it had fallen on him, it would have severely injured him. So we got to get rid of that. Then we can let people wander around in the garden.
And you are looking forward to probably a soft opening in January, and then a big party in February to kick it off?
Yes, I would say that's exactly what's going to happen. We'll have a soft opening in January, starting opening on Sundays, because every Sunday, and it's gone on all during this, when the garden's been closed, on the Sundays, the parking lot fills up with the pure Kona Green Market. And it's a bunch of pop-up tents with artisans and farmers and food sellers. And it's really very popular with the community and with visitors. And people always come and they hang out around the garden and they listen to music. And, of course, they want to get into the garden. So that's where we're going to start in January, is opening up at the same time. This is going to be like 9 to 2 on Sundays, starting in January, and then by the end of February, when we have our real opening, then March can start with, let's hope, 2 days a week, for crying out loud. We'll have to see. The board is going to have to figure out how many volunteers can we get going, because our money is going to go into our garden first, into gardeners and getting the hardscape perfect.
Well, it just sounds like you've had many helping hands from the community support the effort then over the years of the closure. And it is remarkable that you've been able to raise this much money to purchase the gardens.
Well, it's true. This is a complete group effort. Really a group effort on the part of the community for forming a 501c3. And we say, mahalo nui loa te kage shuddy, pro bono legal work, helping us turn into a 501c3 and helping navigate this purchase, because it's a tiny bit complicated, because the state of Hawaii, the Legacy Land Program under the DLNR, thank you, state of Hawaii, we got $750,000 from them, which is a giant piece of money. And that was our first big grant. And when we got that grant, we thought, wow, that's a lot of money. We don't have to bake 200 malasadas. We can actually think about buying the garden. And then the federal government came to us, wonderful Katie Friday out of the Forest Service on this island, and Tanya Rubenstein from Honolulu, and they said, hey, garden friends, how would you like to be the first community forest in the Pacific region under USDA? And we were like, what, really? And usually these things, you know, they can take years to plan and apply for. And they were like, you can write your grant in a month, and we'll let you know in early September, right around Amy Greenwald's birthday, if you get $550,000 or not. And that happened so fast.
So the stars really lined up for you.
Oh, they really, really did. And we have great grant writers on, I'm not a grant writer, but on the board, we have Janet Britt, Marie Morin, and Rose Schilt. So we have three fabulous women with experience writing grants, and they wrote these grants and answered all these endless questions you have to answer, and they did it. And then we have a lovely pro bono lawyer on our board, Nathan Smith. it's just fun. It's just fun to have these people who step up and say, I know how to do that, and I will do it. And then they do. And then we're all happy because on our board we have two vice presidents, and one is very well known to the ethnobotany world, and that's Dr. Noah Lincoln, who teaches at UH Manoa and used to live in Oahu, but now he's moved back to the Big Island, so that's great. And then we have Shirley Kauhai Howell, who lives in South Kona and has been, you know, connections to the garden for decades. And you get that kind of local attachment to a place. Her granddaughter used to be in our, you know, nursery propagating little seeds when she was young, and that kind of aloha never ends.
So your garden has deep roots in the community.
It does have deep roots in the community, and that's what's really fun about this federal money. This federal money is for, it's a community forest, and that's why they gave the money to us, because we're right off Mamalohoa Highway. We're on the Mauka side. Monago Hotel is on the Makai side. You can come to the garden. You can go eat lunch at Monago's. Then you can cruise down to Kealakekua Bay or go see Pu'uhonua or Honaunau. There's this app. You can go right across the street and see Kona Historical Society's, you know, Uchida Living Coffee, but the Living History Farm.
Right.
We're in a center of really good places here in South Kona.
So talk about the uniqueness of Amy's garden.
Well, it's pretty funny. Amy Greenwald was a visionary. Let's just face it. Amy Greenwald's a visionary. Her father was born and raised in Kona. He inherited a large cattle ranch from his father, Henry Nicholas Greenwald. Her father was Arthur Greenwald. But Amy was raised on Oahu. She went to Putahoe. She went to Stanford a little bit. And then we had Pearl Harbor Day. Amy was there on Oahu on Pearl Harbor Day, and the bombs came down. And she instantly volunteered to help, you know, nurse people in Queens Hospital, and ended up being a volunteer nurse's aide all through the war. She actually worked for the Bishop Museum in the 1940s and early 50s with a botanist called Dr. Otto Degener. And Dr. Degener ended up in New York at the New York Botanical Gardens, and Amy went with him. I mean, Dr. Degener had a wife, but Amy went. She was like, you know, she was deeply motivated. She loved Hawaiian plants. She learned to do botanical illustrations of the banana and describe things. And then she came back to Hawaii, and in 1954 decided to return to Kona, return to her roots in Kealakekua, and she built a house. And she got to have some old ranch land. And actually, this ranch land had coffee trees on it, and she never got married. She was lovely. She had pugs. She was an eccentric. But she went into her backyard, and because she had worked with the Bishop Museum for years with botanists and archaeologists like Dr. Kenneth Emery, like Dr. Doug Yen, she could see that she had archaeological remnants of Kona's dryland field system in her backyard. She knew these low stone walls running Mauka Makai were kua'iwi that had been described by Archibald Menzies in the 1790s. You know, she had a brain.
She knew what she had. She knew the value of what was there on that land.
Well, she really did. And nobody in Kona, nobody had access to archaeological remnants of the dryland field system. You know, nobody, did people care about the dryland field system in the 1960s and 70s? Not too much. No, they didn't. Everybody was, you know, dragging chains over the pasture lands, trying to flatten archaeological features, trying to obliterate them. And, you know, I love coffee farmers and academia. And I love ranchers. But all of these occupations are not great for preserving the past. And Amy was like, holy crow. And then she got sick. She got a dreadful, horrible cancer, multiple myeloma, which her father had died of in 1950. And so she knew that, yeah, she wasn't going to make it. She was not going to grow up to be a white-haired lady gardening in Kona. So mercifully, when she was sick and in Queen's Hospital, Dr. Kenneth Emery came to visit her apparently almost every day, and he brought her a Pua Kenny lei every day, and he hung them at the foot of her bed, and a wonderful perfume was in her hospital room. And I think probably to keep her spirits up, or maybe Amy was just being charming. I mean, they hatched a plan. I just love it. The garden was a dream. It was a dream that Amy would never see in her lifetime, but it didn't matter. They could make it so vivid, and it was like, look, my brother Sherwood back in Kona, I will leave you guys. I will leave you acres of land. I will leave you peace behind my house. I will leave you, it's like 12 acres. And in my backyard, which has been cleared, you know, you can have that house, you can have the Gasper house, if you will promise to plant the plants that lived here in Hawaii before Captain Cook sailed into Kealakekua Bay. So it's like, right, get Hawaii pre-1779. No red hibiscus bushes.
Right, so that was the dream, and then she made it happen and then left it to the Bishop Museum.
She did. She left it to the Bishop Museum. She died in 1974, and, you know, it took a while, but the museum did marshal their many, many genius scientists and plans, and they sent archaeological teams up there. There's a book, In the Gardens of Lono, which actually is all about Amy's land.
They restored the land.
Yeah, well, they had to rip out all the coffee and the mac nuts and the Christmas berry. They restored the land. They revealed the walls. And then they could plant a Hawaiian garden. It's not like a Hawaiian garden was there. They brought these plants and seeds, and they were babies. They started off being babies. The garden, I don't remember what the garden looked like in the 80s and 90s, but I certainly know what it looked like in the 21st century, and it's impressive, and it is great. The Bishop Museum, and this is thanks to the leadership of Melanie Ide, who was not the CEO. She's only been the CEO probably 2 years now, maybe coming up on 2 years. She is wonderful because she came over to Kona right away, and she could see the value of the garden in and of itself, but also, of course, as it links to the Bishop Museum. And so she has. The Bishop Museum has pledged. Thank you, board of the Bishop Museum, for pledging to continue paying our head gardener's salary. And then we are hammering out an agreement. And it's hammered, probably is the wrong word. We are kind of envisioning an agreement. Like, how can we help each other?
That was a very educational conversation that we had with Miley Melrose, president of the Friends of the Amy Greenwell Ethnobotanical Garden in Kona. She was talking about the sale of the land and the reopening of the property to the public after being shuttered for 4 years.